So glad to be back to share with you God's Word again. Today we'll share a very alarming message, very serious message that I believe is relevant to each of our lives. I read from Associated Press News on April 23rd this year that a senior attorney at the SEC Washington headquarters spent up to 8 hours a day looking at and downloading pornography, including photos or videos showing nudity or sexual intercourse. When he ran out of hard drive space, he burned the files onto CDs or DVDs, and he kept all these in the boxes in his office, but that was found out later. And he was not alone. There were about 17 others who did the same. Maybe some others who were not found out about that, he agreed to resign from this job, a very well-paid job, paying him probably about $200,000 per year. And he was wasting the taxpayers' money to just view and download pornography all day long. Maybe that's why our economy is collapsing. According to compiled numbers from respected news and research organizations, every single second, $3,075 is being spent on pornography. Every single second, 28,258 internet users are viewing pornography. In that same second, 372 internet users are typing adult search terms into search engines. Every 39 minutes, new pornographic video is being created in the U.S. It's a huge business. The pornography industry has larger revenues than Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, and Netflix combined. 2006, worldwide pornography revenues ballooned to $97.06 billion. About a total of 4.2 million websites contain pornography. That is about 12% of the total number of websites. One in seven youths report being solicited for sex on the internet. The average age of a child first exposure to pornography is 11 years old. A total of 90% of children ages 8 to 16 have viewed pornography online. Pornographers use many character names that appeal to children, such as Pokemon, and then obey them to pornographic websites. According to statistics, men are not the only ones to access pornography at work. A total of 13% of women admit to accessing pornography at work, with many, I believe, who did not admit. One in three visitors to pornographic websites are women. It does not just concern men. Women are also being harmed in this area. About 16% of men with internet access at work admit to looking at online porn while at the office, according to a 2006 survey by WebSense Inc. How did it all start? Pornography often will start with curiosity, but will ultimately develop into addiction that can destroy our studies if we're in school, our job, our career, our work, if we are working, or our family, if we are in a marriage relationship. And this addiction often will need more aggressive behavior, like rape. If people think too much about that, they see too much of something that they desire, they will ultimately take action. So that's why today in Dreams Come True Part 3, Overcoming Temptations in Life, we will look at a passage from Genesis 39, from Joseph's story, how we can overcome temptations in our life, especially sexual temptations, and now pornography. It's a widespread temptation in the world. I believe that can affect each one of us here, starting from those who are just 11 years old to those they are older. I see that God has a wonderful plan for each one of us. God wants us to live a holy life and live out the plan that He has for us, so that we can be more like Christ, to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And yet, there is a problem. Widespread temptations everywhere in our world. Everyone who uses computer, uses the internet, are susceptible, are vulnerable to this temptation that's called pornography. Have you viewed pornography last week? Or recently? Are you addicted to that? So that's why we need to learn from Joseph's life today how to overcome temptations, especially sexual temptations. And the principles that we will learn from Joseph's life will apply to overcoming every kind of temptation in our life that Satan uses to try to destroy our life. So that we'll live a powerless life. We cannot answer God's calling for us because our lives are controlled by sin. And Satan uses pornography to control us. Please open your Bible to Genesis chapter 39. We'll look at the passage that Wendy just read. First of all, we will see a huge problem. The problem that Joseph faced, and the same problem that we face today when it comes to sexual temptations. The huge problem is that Satan will often use our gifts to attract temptations to us. Satan will often use gifts, what is good in our life, to use it for his purpose, to tempt us into sin, to control us, to destroy us. Genesis chapter 39, verse 6, the second half. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." God gave Joseph precious gifts and had a wonderful dream or plan for his life, that through him many people, including his own family members, would be saved, would be delivered from a devastating famine that will happen a few years after that. God allowed Joseph's brothers to sell him as a slave to Egypt. But Joseph trusted God, even as a slave, in everything that he did. And God was with him. And God gave him success as a slave in Potiphar, his master's house. Because of God's presence with him, he became very successful. He became second in power to his master. His master did not concern himself about anything other than eating, because Joseph was taking care of everything. God gave him wisdom. Everyone looked up to him. Everyone sought him out for help. Moreover, God gave Joseph a strong body and a handsome face. Satan wanted to destroy God's plan for Joseph. Satan does not want any one of us to live out God's plan for us, to be conformed to the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to live a life that glorifies Him, to answer His calling to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost people and to help them to be free from the bondage of sins in their lives. Satan used Potiphar's wife to tempt Joseph, and Potiphar's wife was attracted by Joseph's success. So when you are successful, be careful. You appear very attractive to some people. When you are well built physically, tall and strong and fit, be careful. Some people will be attracted to you. If you have a handsome face, everybody is praising you. Oh, you're so handsome. You're so pretty. Be careful. Some people will be attracted to you. Like Potiphar's wife was attracted to Joseph, and she started nothing over Joseph. She wanted to have a sexual relationship with Joseph outside of her marriage with Potiphar, a wealthy and powerful man, but she was not satisfied. Put yourself in Joseph. Joseph faced a very difficult situation. It was not easy for Joseph to refuse the request from Potiphar's wife. According to my studies, ancient Egyptian women were very beautiful, and they were also very good to make them attractive to every man. Especially those young men like Joseph, who probably was in his 20s. Single man, in his 20s, another hormones in the body. And there came a very attractive, beautiful, powerful woman in his life. Could Joseph just simply refuse? But I see that refusing was difficult for him. First, he will lose a golden opportunity to experience every man desired to be with a beautiful woman. Second, he will lose the opportunity to gain more favor, more power, more success in the house. Third, refusing such a powerful woman might mean that he will have a difficult night. This woman might make his night miserable if he did not submit. I believe Joseph understood that very well. In our lives, I see that we all have different gifts. There's no one person who does not have a gift. Even though you might feel like, oh, I don't really have a gift. I'm not as gifted as the other person in this room who has straight A's, who gets straight A's, who can play piano well and wins in the competition, who is well-built, good with sports, and handsome. Everything seems to be going in that person's way. But I'm not gifted, so I don't need to worry about that. But I see that everyone is gifted in one way or another. And you can attract some people to you in one way or another. And that person might be Potiphar's wife. It might not be your appearance. It might not be your talents. But if you are a very kind person, you see that people would be drawn towards you because you are very kind. We are very helpful. People want to be with you. Some people will want to take advantage of you, might even tempt you into sin. You might have enough knowledge. If you are not handsome, oh, I have enough knowledge. I know another thing. People often come to me to seek for advice. Be careful. Some people might tempt you, take advantage of you. Or you have another wealth. You have another possession. Who here does not have a computer? Put up your hand. Everybody has a computer. Do you know that computer is a gift from your parents? It's a gift from God to you. Who doesn't have internet at home here? Everybody has internet access here. See, this gift that God has given us for good, and yet Satan is using it for his purpose to tempt us into sin, to destroy our lives, so that we cannot live out God's plan for our lives. Pornography can control people's body, people's mind, even people's spirit. As we read from the news earlier, we are all vulnerable to that. Some of us, if not all of us, have all in one way or another been influenced by pornography already. Then what should we do to save ourselves from being destroyed by temptations, especially sexual temptations like pornography? Here comes to Genesis chapter 39 verse 8. We'll see that there are three solutions that we can learn from Joseph's life. First of all, fear God. Fear God rather than man, and refuse Satan. Fear God rather than man, and refuse Satan. Genesis 39 verse 8 simply says, but he refused. But Joseph refused, despite how difficult it might be for him to refuse. He simply refused. He said, with me in charge, he told her, Potiphar's wife, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph trusted God and looked at the amazing blessings that God had given him instead of looking at what he did not have. He did not have a wife at that point. He did not have a woman that who loved him or that he loved. But he appreciated all the blessings God has already given him. And he was thankful. He was content. Joseph also trusted God that God will achieve greater things through his life to bless many people. And the dream that God gave him will become true if he continued to trust God. I see that there was a respectful fear in Jesus, in Joseph's heart for God. He was a very smart young man. He probably knew that he could probably hide it from people even after he had done it. And Potiphar's wife would make sure that nobody would find out about that, or using her authority to make sure nobody would tell anyone about that. But Joseph knew he could not hide it from God. God can see everything, even in the private corner in your home. While you are viewing pornography, you think that it doesn't hurt anybody. Nobody sees it. But God sees it. And it really hurts God's heart. Because Jesus said that when we just look at a woman and lust, we have committed adultery. It is a sin in God's eyes. Fearing God. It is fearing God that caused Joseph to do the right thing in God's eye. Instead of doing a wicked thing and sinning against God and against his human master who treated him well because of God's presence in him. Ultimately, we need to ask ourselves, do we really have this reverent fear for God? Do we really know that God is watching us every single moment out of love for us, and he cares for us? He doesn't want us to step into all these traps that Satan is using to tempt us into sin. Sinning sexually, either with a person outside the marriage or before the marriage, or through the internet with our eyes and mind, and ultimately that would destroy our lives. It will cause us suffering, guilt, control our mind, always been preoccupied with those pornography that we have been viewing. And it will disqualify us from living the wonderful plan God has for us. This has harmed even pastors, spiritual leaders in the church. Many of them, because of pornography, they started making more advances, take action to even have sexual relationships or sexual harassment with the congregation members, and they were disqualified from serving God. What a privilege to be able to serve God, either as a full-time minister or every single person being able to use the gift that God has given you to serve him. For example, praising him as a praise team leader. And yet, we are disqualified from that capacity because we submitted to Satan. It's not easy to refuse sin, temptations like pornography, because it is attractive on the outside. It stirs up that desire in each of our sinful body, that sinful nature that Paul called the flesh. Every sin comes from that nature of sin that's in our body. But if you're wise, you'll see that that is just sugar-coated poison. It might taste good for a while, and then it will kill you. We must refuse Satan. We must trust God. We must fear God, who is to be feared, although he also loves us so much. This type of fear is out of appreciation and thankfulness to what Jesus Christ has done for us to deliver us from the punishment of our sins. Are we really thankful to what God did for us through Jesus Christ? Or have we already forgotten this great gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ? If we really are so thankful to God, and we fear God because he is the creator, he is also the judge who judges the living and the dead, then we will refuse to fall into such temptations like pornography, and we will not be controlled and destroyed by it. Instead, we continue to trust God, and we'll be able to experience purity, peace, and joy of God's presence and eternal blessings from God. So the first solution to temptation like pornography is to fear God rather than man. Refuse Satan. Refuse Satan. He does you no good. He's trying to destroy you, although he might use things that are attractive to bait you into sin. Solution number two, We need to resist temptations consistently and wisely, not just once, but consistently, but also wisely. For we see from Genesis chapter 39 verse 10 that, and though Potiphar's wife spoke to Joseph day after day, she simply did not quit. But Joseph refused to go to bed with her and even be with her. Joseph was tempted over and over and over again, but every time he refused, and he refused consistently. Not only did he refuse consistently, but he was also very wise, because he would even avoid to be with her, to have contact with her, to give her the opportunity to tempt him. That was very wise. Who is Satan? The tempter? But Satan is not a quitter. Satan does not quit until you submit. He'll keep trying to tempt us until we submit to him. That's why we need to continue to be alert, to know that Satan is always doing his work to try to tempt us. If we're not alert, we'll fall into the trap. Can we resist Satan over and over again consistently by our own power? Can we? I see that we cannot do it by our own power. In our own power, the power that is in our body, that is in the sinful nature, we cannot resist Satan. That's why it's important that we need to submit to God, first of all, and rely on His power to help us to consistently resist temptations like pornography in our life. Before the temptations come, we already start praying. We already start letting God's word fill our minds, our hearts. And we worship God whenever we can. Not only during worship service, but every day, anytime, any moment, I see God's creation, I see how loving God is to me. I was reminded how good God is. Let's not forget about the goodness of God, and let us worship Him all the time. And if you have that thankfulness in your heart all the time, then you'll start to appreciate God and God's word, and you will pray continually. God, help me. Don't even let me get into the temptation, even have contact with such temptation. Each night before I sleep, I'll pray to God. Because although when I am conscious, I will consciously resist temptation. But I had experienced that in my dream, that I fell into temptation, and I remembered some of those dreams, and I hated them. So I prayed to God, protect me by the power of your Holy Spirit, even when I am sleeping in my dream, because you do not sleep. You can watch over me. You can watch over my mind and my heart even in my dream. I seek to see your face even in my dreams. And I do not want to have anything to do with sin, even in my dreams. That is my desire. I failed, but I continue to ask God every night. And I've seen success in my dreams even. And I pray to God to ask God to help me through the power of His word and prayer to help me to live a holy life. I even pray that if before I would fall into a temptation that would disqualify me from serving you, just take my knife away, God. I do not want to cause shame to your name. And whenever the temptation comes, I pray, I resist. And I realize that Satan is not that powerful in comparison to God. He was just created by God. God is all-powerful. Satan is not omnipresent. He can only influence one person at a time, but God is omnipresent. He is always present with those who have believed in Jesus Christ. For James chapter 4, verse 7 says that, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself first to God. Then resist the devil, and Satan, the devil, will flee from you. We should also be wise. Not only that we would resist, refuse consistently, but also wisely. How can we be more wise when it comes to temptation? I see that we should be wise to avoid those environments that had caused us to fall into sin. Like the way Joseph avoided even to have contact with Potiphar's wife. We need to get rid of those things that are tempting us, that are in our computer, that are in our house, that are in the movies collection, the DVDs that we are watching and we are even cherishing. If there are movies with nudity in it, get rid of it. I threw away another of my previously favorite movies. Some of them by Bruce Lee, some by Jet Li, and some by Stephen Chow, a very famous comedian in Hong Kong. Some of those I thought they were really good movies, but for some reason they put in scenes of nudity in there. And I see that if I really love that movie so much, I might watch the movie again, and I might be tempted to sin when I see those things. So I just threw away those movies. I struggled a little bit because those, I felt, good movies. Why do you put these scenes? I really don't like these people putting these scenes to ruin a whole good movie. Threw away those movies. I also suggest that we'll avoid one-on-one time with anyone of the opposite sex or gender. Even your boyfriend or girlfriend in a private setting. Be careful. If you're home alone with your boyfriend or girlfriend or with someone of the opposite sex, Satan might use that to tempt you into having either premarital sex or extramarital sex. Or you might not do it in your mind. You think about those things. So you have already sinned in your mind. Don't get yourself into those situations. Be wise. I also suggest that we should avoid touching other people's sensitive areas on the body or being touched in those areas. I'm not trying to be legalistic, but some dances, you know, you guys are too intimate physically and you're touching each other's, you know, very sensitive body part that might arouse your sexual desire. Be careful. Many people started with just that and then they usually sarcastically during Christmas parties they have premarital sex or extramarital sex. Be wise. I also suggest that if you are really addicted to pornography, ask a God-fearing friend or family member to help you to set up a password-protected filter. Okay, that password only your friend or your family member would know. to filter out any pornographic content, and you keep yourself accountable to that friend. And your friend will ask you, have you recently viewed pornography? That person is someone you can trust, and if you did, just confess to that person. That person will continue to pray for you and to keep you accountable until finally you'll be able to completely resist the temptation consistently. Also wisely. I see that the above mentions are just application of what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 18, 8-9, remove the source of our temptation. Jesus talked about gouging your eyes out if it's causing you to sin, or cutting your hands off if your hands are causing you to sin. Jesus was not asking us to literally gouge our eyes out or cut off our hands, but remove the source of our temptation. And that ultimately is in our heart, that we need to guard our hearts. So that's why I see that if you feel in summer vacation you have another time, or a vacation you have another time, then you have nothing to do. Your mind is engaged with nothing. Be very careful, because Satan might use those opportunities to fill your mind with the sinful thoughts, maybe to fill your eyes with the sinful pictures or videos. So that's why even when we have another time in our hands, make sure we fill our mind, our thoughts, our hearts with the good things from God. And then you will not even have room to think about or to see or to do those evil things in God's eyes. That's why Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says that, finally, brothers, whatever is true or honest, whatever is noble or respectful, whatever is right according to God's perfect standard of holiness, whatever is pure or morally clean, whatever is lovely or peacemaking, whatever is admirable, meaning positive and constructive, to help people, if anything is excellent, anything is good in God's eyes, anything is praiseworthy or God-pleasing, think about such things. Think about such things. Fill your mind with such things that are excellent and praiseworthy in God's eyes. Moreover, verse 9 says that whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Don't just think about it. Do God's word out of appreciation for God's love for us through Jesus Christ. Be a doer of God's word. That's when God's word will truly stick to your mind. You truly understand God's word, and God's power and presence will be with you when you do God's word besides thinking about God's word. Solution number 3. Not only should we, first of all, fear God rather than man and refuse Satan. Second, that we should resist Satan, the temptation that he's using to tempt us into sin, consistently and wisely. But we should resist temptations at all costs, even our life. Are you willing to resist temptations even if you will lose your life for it? I'm talking about your physical life. Spiritual life, we're already securely in the hands of God if we have truly believed in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. But this world, people who persecute believers, they might threaten you to take away your life if you do not submit to their evil desires. Genesis chapter 39 verse 11 to 20, I'll not go over that verse by verse, but just summarizing that, there are 20 verses, but there are 10 verses there. It describes that Joseph consistently refused Potiphar's wife's request to have sex with her. But the refusal actually made Potiphar's wife wants Joseph even more. She found a perfect opportunity. She tried to trap Joseph. And she tried to use some force to force Joseph into sinning against God, into having that relationship that she desired. But Joseph ran away. Joseph just ran away, even leaving behind his clock. She knew, finally, that it was impossible to make Joseph submit to her wicked request. What did she do? Her unfulfilled lust became anger against Joseph. She tried to kill Joseph. If you understand that a slave doing such a thing, trying to commit rape to the master's wife, deserved death penalty. And that was what she was trying to do, to wrong Joseph for trying to rape her, and reported that to her husband. Then how could Joseph survive being killed? Potiphar was angry, but he had doubts. I believe he had doubts because he observed that Joseph was a man of character, of godly character. He probably doubted the truth of his own wife's report. That's why he didn't kill Joseph. Instead, he put him in a very nice prison. It's a very nice prison, okay? Prison is bad, but it is a nice prison where the king's prisoners were kept. He helped to save Joseph's life because Joseph trusted God and he demonstrated godly character in his life. That's why, even under such strong accusation, he was not killed. I believe Joseph probably already expected this to happen to him. Resisting someone who is in power, who is your master's wife. But even so, he resisted temptation at all costs, even at the risk of losing his physical life. He would resist temptation. This shows us how much Joseph feared God and how much Joseph trusted God. Even at the risk of losing his life, he resisted. If we can do the same when we are facing temptation, being willing to even to lose our life in order that we will not sin against God, I believe we will be able to experience God's great power to help us, to deliver us through even the greatest temptations that you will face in your life. What is the result? After Joseph faced a great temptation, he followed that example of those three solutions that we just learned. The result was that God honored him because he honored God. Genesis chapter 39 verse 20b says that, "But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him, and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden." So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything, sounds very familiar, under Joseph's care, just like what Joseph did to Potiphar. Because God was with him, the warden again didn't need to be concerned about anything. Joseph was taking care of everything in the prison. Because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So Joseph was put in the prison, but because of his faith in God, God was with him. God showed him kindness, and the prison warden treated him well, and Joseph's faith in God's integrity and wisdom earned him trust even from the prison warden. That's why he gave Joseph the authority to take care of everything in prison. He became a manager in prison. Managing, taking care of everything in prison. Who expect to go to prison and then to be in that position? Again, because of God's presence with Joseph, he was successful in everything he did. That's a repeating theme that we see in Joseph's life. Although, when we resist Satan, I want to share with you that we might face persecution, like what Joseph faced, maybe even unto death. But God would deliver us. God would deliver us even at death. God would deliver us into our eternal life with Christ. Even if persecution, most of the cases I believe, God would deliver us the way he delivered Joseph. God will honor those who will honor him. So, to have a quick review, how can we live out God's wonderful dreams or plans for us in the face of such huge temptations in our life? Like pornography, it's everywhere. It's at our home. Nobody can even find out about it. And we can just do it and pretend that we're not doing it. We must understand Satan's strategy. That Satan will use our gifts to attract temptations to us. So, examine your gifts. Make sure your gifts will not be used by Satan for evil, but be used by God for good. Then, we should learn to overcome all temptations, like pornography, the way that Joseph overcame temptation. First, by fearing God rather than man. Refuse Satan. Second, resist temptation consistently and wisely. Third, resist temptations at all costs, even at the cost of our life. If we have that determination of resisting temptations and trust God, we will be able to overcome all temptations and live a holy life, and our life will be continually transformed to the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let no sin be a stumbling block, be a hindrance for us to experience the best that God has planned for each one of us. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, would you forgive our sins? In our daily living, there are many, many temptations that Satan has used to tempt us. The gifts that God you have given us for good, Satan will often take advantage of our sinful desires, our sinful natures, and use them for evil in sin. Especially our computers, internet. I pray that if anyone of here has viewed pornography and is still viewing pornography, even thinking that there's nothing wrong about that and is not willing to quit from that, would you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, convict us? Let us see that it's wrong and it's going to destroy us in the end. Help us to turn away from that and ask for God's cleansing and forgiveness. I pray that you will indeed give us this power from the Holy Spirit through your word and filling our minds with the good things from God and doing good things for God, that we will be able to resist Satan in every temptation. I pray that you give us more faith, more trust, more fear of God, and that will help us to resist Satan, even at the cost of our lives. I pray that we'll see that our life is given by God. We'll be willing to use our life for God's purpose, not for sin. And God, would you help us, because in our weaknesses, we cannot do it. But by trusting Christ and His provisions through the Holy Spirit and God's holy word, we can do it for God's glory. May you cleanse all of us here, make us holy, make us blameless in God's eyes, and may we also be able to help our friends who are also struggling with temptations, with pornography, and other sexual temptations, and all kinds of temptations. Through us, through the power of the gospel, we can help them to know Christ and then be free. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.